Well, Barry, looking forward to the game like everybody else, for the game against Galway. And certainly from your own experiences, do you feel Donegal can pick it up? Because a lot of people are feeling that maybe that's the question on everybody's lips after the disappointment against Monaghan the last day.
Ah, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it's no... There's no hiding from the fact that the result against Monaghan, losing an Ulster final in itself, was very disappointing. But I would have no worries about the boys, you know. It's a very, very experienced dressing room. You know, you have a lot of leaders in there, so they'll be able to pick themselves up. I think no more so than if they had even if they had won the Ulster final, they take every game on its merits and take each game as it comes. So, you know, against Galway now, they won't be taking any baggage or any of the disappointment and the defeat of that. Well, they have, in fairness, have the extra week probably than some of the other provincial losers didn't have. They had that extra 6 or 7 days, so that in itself will be a help.
And from your own experience, you know, you played in the qualifiers, both from early knockouts and from provincial final knockouts.
That's right, yeah. Over the years I was playing, we experienced both sides of it. In fairness, you know, if you're knocked out and you do happen to get, as a so-called, maybe an easier draw, maybe just to get you back in the swing of it, I think the way the format is at the minute, and it's no secret that the only real losers or the only real people that doesn't suit is the provincial losers, because they're coming off the back of a defeat and they're, just by the very nature of the competition, they're facing a team that has maybe 3 or 4 wins on the bounce. So they're gained a wee momentum, whereas the provincial loser has to get over the defeat of the Ulster final, or the provincial final, the Ulster final in this case. So to be fair, it's probably the odds are stacked against the provincial losers, and but you know, as we were saying, I think Donegal have enough experience and enough know-how maybe just to put that disappointment behind them and just take each game as it comes.
And tell me, you know, in terms of your own experience again, and going back to the qualifiers, I suppose Donegal did best in the qualifiers when they had got a bit of momentum going, and Galway are going to go into the game as well with, what, 2 good wins under their belts.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, like in fairness, there is no substitute for winning, you know, and no matter how narrow the victory or how large the victory, it still breeds a wee bit of confidence, and it does, you know, it brings players on, it brings teams on. So, like, Galway will be, you know, probably there'll be more of a force now than there would have been when Mayo met them in the Connacht Championship. They've gained that wee bit of traction and momentum, as we said before, with the victory. So, and to be fair, you know, they've beat a Derry team there, which Donegal, you know, they beat a Derry team which Donegal had probably had a wee bit of bother with beating as well. So, I'd be confident, but like in fairness, you wouldn't just write off Galway because they do have them a couple of victories under their
belt. And in Galway in general, what do you make of them as a team?
I would be fairly impressed by Galway, you know, in fairness. They obviously have to be backboned by a lot of the Cora Finn players who have won All-Ireland, so... And as well as that, they have some very good individual players. They played probably a wee bit more defensive than they'd been noted for this year. But again, that's just the way the game's going. The game's going very defensive minded. And to be fair, if you see what happened against, you've seen what happened Sligo against Mayo, you know, if you don't have your defensive format in place, the game could be over within 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, so that's here to stay, I think.
I think it's here to stay, yeah. You know, until somebody maybe... well, it's probably his here. It's just the quality of the forwards and with the quality of player now. You just can't afford to have, you know, you can't afford just to have, you know, man on man inside, and particularly in the inside forward line, because the full back line would just be hung out to dry, particularly because everything's going against them. Like, a full back could win maybe six or seven of 10 balls coming in, but all the forward needs is 3, sure.
Donegal going to Croke Park without your own club man, Carl Lacey, needless to say, a huge loss.
Huge loss. I think not alone in this county, but up and down the country, you know, Carl Lacey would be a household name. His record speaks for itself. The individual honours that he has alone. But to be fair, you know, this Donegal team, I think their biggest strength is their game plan and the way everybody bites into the game plan and how nobody is irreplaceable. So although Carl will be a big loss, I have no fear that whoever comes in will do as good a job. And maybe, you know, Carl there, he'll still be there. He'll be in the dressing room. He'll be on the sideline. You know, so he'll be there and he'll be leading in that kind of a way. But yeah, definitely he would be a loss. But as I say, the Donegal team are...
Does that affect the dressing room when, you know, a marquee player like that? And I suppose one of the leaders on the field as well, you know, is missing for a big game.
I'm not sure. Well, no, I wouldn't. I would think, to be fair, that the Donegal boys now, they're like, that squad of players are so experienced. Like, you know, the big game experience they've had over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, we hadn't had, maybe Donegal players hadn't had many big games in the previous 20 years. And a dressing room, I would say, as I say before, there's probably enough leaders there, you know, just to bring them over. And whoever comes in, I'm sure, listen, whoever comes in, sure Anthony Thompson didn't start the last game, you know. And they have so many, you know, players there that come in and do a job. And as I say, it's a system more so than individual.
And just from your own experience, would Rory be better advised to maybe move Frank Midlane or move Ryan McHugh or somebody into the centre, or bring somebody straight in and leave them on the wings?
Well, far be it from me to be advising Rory Keller what to do, but listen, you need to be there, you need to be in the setup to understand what's going on. Just from a purely experienced part of it, from my own personal experience or from looking at teams from the outside, you'd be probably best just maybe the one swap as opposed to upsetting your whole team. But then again, as I say, that Donegal team is so transient, them players can play really anywhere. So, you know, and out and out positions now, as we were talking about defensive format there, like, you know, it's not old style positions where you stay in you. So them boys are all good ball players, they're all very comfortable on the ball and they all know their own job. So, like, far be it for me to tell Rory Geller or, you know, give him any, or as if he needs any advice. But, you know, whatever, I presume whatever they do, well, everybody will know their job and they'll know what to do and they'll do it probably.
What are you going to be looking from Donegal on Sunday, maybe that you didn't see against, or Saturday that you didn't see against Monaghan in the Ulster final?
And to be fair, you know, to Donegal against Monaghan, if you take away the how many wides they had, you know, I don't know, I think it was well in the double figures, 16 wides.
Yeah.
Which is very uncharacteristic of them, you know. And we were coming down the road, and we thought to ourselves, if Donegal even had a third of them, they could have won that game by 4, 5, 6 points. We'd have coming down the road thinking that, listen, another tactical masterclass by Donegal sucked Monaghan in and got them on the break. But I know it's a fine line, but the ball didn't go over the bar, so therefore, you know, you'd be just hoping that they would probably take more chances, you know, their percentage scores wide would have to be higher, you know, other than that, you know, the other facets of the game, you'd like, listen, everybody would like to see everybody open up, everybody would like to see Michael Murphy, Colin Anthony and Paddy McBrady one-on-one inside, but you got to understand that, you know, the teams that they're playing against aren't just going to let that happen, you know.
We are going to be defensive,
and listen, to be fair,
and we can struggle at times against teams like that.
But I think everybody struggles, because it's just like the amount of coaching and the amount of the tactical, you know, to be fair now, the tactical battle on the sideline now is nearly as intriguing as it is on the field.
Yeah.
You know, how they cope with different switches and stuff like that. So it's definitely not easy to break down these systems, but by and large, to be fair to Donegal, they have always came up with different, you know, and it's a good challenge for the boys and the men on the field themselves.
And there was a couple of low key below par performances as well the last year, so those players will be very anxious, I'm sure.
Oh, they will be, yeah, but you know, you can't be at the top of your game all the time, you know, and people just have to understand that there's a slight dip in form. But again, and going back, like, them boys have had very few dips in form, you know, and the one thing that they have been is very consistent over the 4 or 5 years. I'd expect a big game from Donegal, you know.
Do you see them as real challengers still for an All-Ireland?
I have to, like, anybody that underestimates them, that group of players, you know, I think it'd be fairly foolish. Although in saying that, if you're looking at the side of the draw now, if they do get over Galway, which will be a challenge in itself, you're looking at then at Mayo the following week, and then maybe you're on the same side as Dublin, and if you happen to get over that, you're looking at probably Kerry. Also, I know all Ireland's aren't easy one, but this one definitely will not be easy.
Yeah, well, they did it before, of course, in 2000.
They did it before, and they went the hard way around, you know. So as I say, there is no easy ones, and you're going to have to beat, you know, the best. So I'm sure the boys are relishing that challenge as well.
Yeah, and just to look at the other couple of games that are on the weekend as well. Tyrone have recovered well from the defeat in Ballybuffet. I suppose there wasn't much in that game either, indeed. And they're playing Sligo, who are going in on the back of a right good trouncing in their provincial final.
Exactly. Well, you know, just going back to our earlier point, if you look at talking about the backdoor system, Tyrone entered that backdoor system very early, and if you look at the way the momentum swing now, just from the outside looking in, you would think that Tyrone are in a better position than Donegal were. They are, more than likely, you would think, or the vast majority of people think, they have the easier game on Sunday against Sligo. But you can't, to be fair, you can't really see anything only a thrown victory. I know the Sligo players no more so than any Antrim County player will have their pride, but like they did take an awful pasting on against them, against Mayo. And again, like that, we're talking about defensive system. They probably went, as I say, old school and went just man for man, and you attack, we attack. And it just, obviously, Mayo were further down their line in the development of their players and their systems, and they just tore them asunder.
And then, of course, we have on Sunday, we have the first of the quarterfinals, and it's Kildare. They're a surprise package, really, because they struggled big time against Dublin, and all of a sudden they're now in an All-Ireland quarterfinal against Kerry.
Yeah, and Kildare, I was watching that game on TV. Kildare were very impressive against Cork, you know, but like that as well. I was disappointed with Cork. Yeah, I was disappointed with Cork the way, you know, they even threw in the towel, but Kildare had the traction underneath them, they had the momentum, and, you know, they were very impressive. Again, another defensive-minded team, you know, going in, so... hopefully we won't be looking at three points to two but as you say, it's you know,
Kerry are still the All Ireland champions, and
Kerry are All Ireland champions, yeah, and to be fair, they have so many good players. You know, they have scoring forwards, they have ball winning midfielders, you know, they have tight defenders, and they seem to have a panel there maybe now of even 21, 22 players that they can come on. It'll be interesting to see the midfield battle, because Kildare had seemed to have played very well around the middle of the field against Cork. The two big strong men
put up a big score, which is a bit unusual for Kildare.
Exactly, yeah, put up a big score, but you would have to question some of the Cork defending at times. You know, they seem to be very lax and very far off their men. But it'll be an interesting day. I don't think anybody can see anything only a Kerry victory, because as you say, they're all Ireland champions. Mm. A lot of good players, and I don't know if Kildare are just far enough, you know, down the road to challenge.
And the other game that's on, of course, is Fermanagh against Dublin, the raging hot favourites. I think as somebody told me yesterday that Dublin are 200-1 on to in that game. It's really beyond the bounds of possibility that Fermanagh are going to pull off at Donegal, isn't it?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, Fermanagh, fair play to them. You know, they came through, and I think Pete McGrath was quoted saying he wanted the Fermanagh players to play football in August. They're going to be doing that, but like against the Dubs, you know, and as you quoted them odds there, like, I don't know, even though Fermanagh would be worth a sneaky fiver, I doubt you would. I doubt you would lose your money. Yeah. But I think that at the minute there's maybe five, six, seven teams just so far ahead of the rest of them, you know. And Fermanagh would be probably, you know, down the tier a wee bit. So and they're coming up against the Dubs, who are a raging hot favourites, not only for that game but for the All Ireland.
Yeah, and probably have learned their lesson from last year.
Yeah, and we're talking about squads earlier on with the Kerry squad. When you're looking at that Dublin squad, absolutely no weaknesses anywhere, maybe in probably the first 25
No weakness
players.
Even on the bench, you know, either.
They have 10 players there that could come in and do a job.
Yeah. And then, well, back to Donegal, you still expect Donegal to be going into the...
I still expect Donegal to go in. Listen, again, I say it's, you know, the quality of players, them boy, like Monaghan beat Donegal by a point, and everybody thinks that everything's going so well in the Monaghan. It was such a fine line. Like, if Paddy McBride, we would have been going for a replay, if, you know, it just happened to tail wide. So I don't think anything, like, people can be very fickle, or can, you know, they can be the best supporters but the worst supporters, and they're very critical that the game was a poor game, which was fair enough. But I still think that Donegal have the players, you know, and I still think that they're in the top three, four counties, you know, in football wise, and they'll be there or thereabouts. Obviously, they're going to have to perform. If they don't perform against that Galway team, but that's true in every sport. You know, every day you go out, you have to perform. And I think if Donegal can get a performance, that the result will look after itself.